Probably one of the most important monarchs in the last 100 years was Wilhelmina, Queen of the Netherlands. She was born in 1880, and three of her older brothers died, and so she became queen at 10. Her mom helped guide her until she was 18, and she ruled for 52 years. This queen had a lot of spunk. She led Holland through two world wars. World War II, you know your history, Holland fell within a week, and she went to England to try and rule from there. Every night she'd be on the radio talking to the people in Holland. And in that time period, the Nazis, if you had radio, you were supposed to give it over, or there was great punishment. But a lot of the Dutch people hid their radios so then they could listen to the Queen on the radio as she encouraged them. She doesn't care much for politicians. The Prime Minister of Holland tried to sign an agreement with the Nazis because he thought they were going to win. And so she fired him. And she connected both with England and the USA and how to win the war. In 1944, there was an assassination attempt on her life that killed two of her security guards. Winston Churchill described her as the only man among the governments in exile in London. She was a courageous leader. After the war, she would travel the countryside by buggy to encourage the people that she loved so much. There's another king who left his throne in glory to live amongst us, who came and experienced all the pain and heartache that we all know in this world. A king who has now claimed his rightful place in our world and in our hearts. Let's pray. Lord, in this world, there are so many voices clamoring for our attention with a desire to push us in a particular way. We recognize the voice we need to listen to is yours. Come and be our King and help us to understand our incredible value in light of our relationship with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is in Acts 2, 22 to 33. And Ernie will put it up in a second. I'm going to read it to you. Acts 2, 22 to 33. Fellow Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man tested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourself know. This man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having released him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for him to be held in his power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I'll not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced, moreover my flesh will live in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he'd put one of his descendants on the throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out on this that you see and you hear. We've not really lived in the times of the king and the queens. Most royal families that have existed in our time have been more figureheads from a previous period in history. Have you ever wondered what it would have been like if you would have been a king or a queen? Often they had enormous power, and in which their displeasure could mean instant death. Even the nation of Israel did not have a king in the Old Testament until 1 Samuel chapter 8, when they asked God for a king to lead them like the other nations around them. Up to that time, the people of God had been led by judges and prophets like Samuel. The reason they had no need of a king was because God was their king. The Lord told Samuel the prophet to warn the people of all the costs of providing for such a king, which he does in the remainder of 1 Samuel chapter 8. So Saul became Israel's first king. Throughout the scriptures, we also find imagery of a king referring to the God of the universe. But this great king will not be like the other kings, taxing us to death. Rather, he comes to serve and give his life for the ransom of many. In the first part of Acts chapter 2, Jesus' followers experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. What follows is Peter preaching to the crowds about what Jesus came to do through his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. Today is Ascension Sunday. This is the day of celebration and is usually positioned 40 days after Easter. This day stands as a reminder that the glorious and triumphant return of Christ is near. It is a reminder of the kingdom of God within our hearts and of the ever-present Holy Spirit watching over and protecting us as we spread the light of Jesus' truth throughout the world. The fact that Jesus was resurrected from the grave and ascended to the right hand of the Father is a source of great hope for each of us. We know that those who belong to him by faith will one day be with him in heaven. And our collective response to this can be, Amen, or let it happen, our good and great God. In Acts 2:22, we pick up on Peter's message to thousands who had gathered to observe the Feast of Weeks, where every Jew was to come back to Jerusalem as a pilgrimage. This commandment is mentioned in Exodus 34:22-23. So there are Jews from all over the known world who spoke all different languages gathering together. But when they're in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit descends on the followers of Jesus and they begin speaking in unknown tongues. Some of these languages that these foreigners from other parts of the world would have spoken. I don't know if you ever traveled anywhere in the world where English is not the main language spoken. You could feel completely lost. But then if you hear someone speak your mother tongue, you could feel like you're back at home. Someone will be able to understand you that you can communicate with. So it's in this atmosphere of total surprise and shock as the people of God are speaking your first language and are praising God, but with a Galilean accent. Today's common theme, if it was today, it would be a Newfoundland accents. There was no way these local, uneducated followers of Jesus could have known or learned all these languages. It was miraculous. And it's off this supernatural event that Peter begins to explain the boldness of who the Christ really was. Jesus from Nazareth did deeds of power and wonders and signs among you, which you all know. But in Acts 2:23, you hand him over, according to God's pre-planning, and crucified and killed him. But this isn't the end of the story. Acts 2:24, but God raised him up, freeing him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in his power, the power of death. G. Bertram says, the abyss or death could no longer hold the Redeemer than a pregnant woman can hold a child in her body forever. Up from the grave he arose. Acts 2:25-28. Peter's quoting King David in Psalm 16:8-11. I saw the Lord always before me. He's at my right hand, so I'll not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body rests secure. For you will not abandon me to Hades or let your Holy One, Jesus, experience decay. You show me the path of life. In your presence there's fullness of joy. The Apostle Peter is saying that in Psalm 16, the writer, King David, is anticipating a resurrection. And everyone knows who is listening that David died and was not resurrected. He's pointing to Jesus' resurrection. For Peter proclaims in verse 29, we all know where David's tomb is. We can go visit it. Acts 2, 30, 31, it says, since David was a prophet and God promised that he would put one of his descendants on the throne, David was speaking of the resurrection of the Messiah. Acts 2, 32, Peter says, the Messiah is Jesus, and he's been raised to life as we all witnessed it. It's amazing in the court of law how hearsay does not amount to much. But when you have true live witnesses, it changes the whole case. What did you see? What did you hear? The focus of my message today is really on these last four verses. Acts 2, 33. Being therefore exalted, referring to Jesus, at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this you have seen and heard, them speaking in unknown languages, both earthly and heavenly. What does it mean for Jesus to be positioned at the right hand of God? This is a place of power, authority, blessing, and rulership. The Christ is on the throne in equal place with the Father. The term right hand is mentioned 166 times in Scripture. Isaiah 41:13, it says, for I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. Genesis 48:14, Jacob uses the right hand as the hand of blessing. Mark 10:37, James and John asked to be able to sit in the place of authority when Jesus comes into his kingdom. Exodus 15:6, and it's the right hand of strength and power. In Revelation 5:1-7, it affirms the right hand as the sovereignty of God, or that Jesus is in complete control over all things. Matthew 25:33, Jesus' parable of the sheep and the goats, the sheep being placed on the right hand and the goats on the left. Back to our text, Acts 2:33. As Jesus is exalted at the right hand of God, he has poured the Holy Spirit upon them. The event speaks of the day of Pentecost when Jesus' disciples are experiencing this to the full. Acts 2:34, as Peter's quoting King David in the Old Testament saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand. Verse 35, until I make your enemies my footstool. Verse 36, therefore let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus who you crucified. Jesus is now enthroned in heaven as the King of kings and Lord of lords, where every tongue will confess and every knee will bow, proclaiming him Lord of all. In Acts 2:34-35, because Jesus is enthroned as king, he'll begin putting all things under his authority. What Israel has long waited for, the establishment of God's kingdom. Now granted, they were looking for a physical kingdom. Well, the Lord was creating his spiritual kingdom that would ultimately transform everything in the physical world. What we all long for is for things to finally be made right. What Jesus is establishing at the right hand of the Father, his kingdom coming to earth in heaven. We're going to show a quick clip of a king returning.
day does not belong to one man, but to all. Let us together rebuild this world, that we may share in the days of peace.
When the king returns, is the start of everything being put back in its rightful place. Early in the 19th century, the king of Prussia, Frederick William III, his nation was in great trouble because they were in financial trouble from all the wars. After a prayerful consideration, he wrote an open letter to the women of Prussia, asking them to voluntarily bring their silver and gold to be melted down. He offered a small token of appreciation to anyone who contributed. In exchange for their jewelry, he gave them a simple cross made of iron. It was inscribed, "I gave gold for iron, 1813. The response was overwhelming. The women of Prussia prized the gift from the king more highly than their previous possessions. Women wore the iron cross with pride. In fact, gold jewelry became unfashionable. The Order of the Iron Cross was established, and members wore no ornaments save a cross of iron for all to see. There is nothing in this world that is more valuable than the favor of the king." What are we to conclude from all this? If you have an option to pick, choose the right side instead of the left. Hear the words from Daniel 7, 13 to 14. "As my vision continued that night, I saw someone like the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient One and was led into his presence. He was given authority and honor and sovereignty over all the nations of the world, so that people of every race, nation, and language would obey him. His rule is eternal. It'll never end. His kingdom will never be destroyed." Jesus' ascension underlines his inauguration, or the beginning of his reign as the king. Why is this important to us? Because if Jesus reigns as king, he'll defeat all and every rebellion against God. Everyone and everything that is anti-God will lose. In particular, the enemy of our souls, the devil, who wants to kill and destroy the followers of God. That's us. It is significant that we are closer to the end, to things wrapping up, than when this was written. It's like a sporting event where one team is beating the other team 10-1, and now they're just playing out the remainder of the clock. The outcome has been decided, and the people of God are on the victorious side. Who wants to be on the winning side? We do. You'll remember the verse in Galatians 6:9. "So let's not get tired of doing what's good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." Because of Jesus' kingship, all of our trials, our hardships, difficulties in this life will have been worth it. Women go through horrendous physical pain in childbirth because the outcome is a miraculous baby. King Jesus has been enthroned on high, and we will serve with him. Not only do we have an incredible future in eternity with Jesus, but even today, he understands what we're going through. Hebrews 4:15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin." We're not out on our own. He is with us daily, and he understands. Many times when there are changes at a workplace with a new supervisor, it can be unsettling because we're not sure how things are going to be impacted in our job. Will the new person in power over me like me, keep me, fire me? Jesus knows all about you, and he loves you unconditionally. There's no need for fear or worry. Rather, we can rejoice. What is so wrong in our world and lives is starting to be made right. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we're so thankful, so full of gratitude, that because of your death, resurrection, and ascension, that we have new life in you, both now and forevermore. We don't need to fear because you're on the throne and everything is under your authority. We long for you and everything that you have in store for us. We submit to your authority and your present day reign. In the name of Jesus our Lord, amen.
Shadows deepen, we do. Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Creation groaning, it is a new creation coming, it is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst, it is it good that we remind ourselves of this? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Truly love us, he does. Does the Spirit move among us? He does. And does Jesus our Messiah hold forever those he loves? He does. Does our God intend to dwell again? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave from every people and tribe. Every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priests to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy?
couple announcements, benediction, we'll sing one more song, you'll be dismissed. Just a reminder, our summer camp applications as well have opened up. If you have children or grandchildren that you want to sign up, I think you can do it online, and we have paper applications as well. Again, we're encouraging people to volunteer to help out with Summer Jam and with our Sunday School program. Youth this week, 6:30 here, they're going to Aspen. And for your mothers, when you walk out today, there are flowers. Please take flowers with you. If your mom doesn't live close by, call her and express your gratitude. I have a friend who's a school teacher. And he told me this story where one day after school, he had to go into a class to talk to the principal. And the principal was in this class. It was kindergarten or grade one. And there were five boys who were disobeying, and they were on the carpet. And the principal was with them. So my friend walked in. Right away, he knew his grandson was on the carpet. So he thought, I cannot give him eye contact because my grandson thinks I'm going to spring him, and I can't get him out of this mess. So he said, I just walked to the principal, said what I had to say, and turned and walked back out, never looking at my grandson. You know what? There's going to be a day when we're the ones on the carpet, but the one who walks in is Jesus. And we will know that it's okay. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing God's kingdom will come, and he will reign as king, and he will bring justice and mercy, and we have nothing to fear as the sons and daughters of God. Amen.
Please feel free to stand while we close.
Before me, the world behind me, no turning back. turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back. No turning back.
Have a wonderful Mother's Day, everybody.